Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Now, the title of my message tonight is Worry-Free Living. Worry-Free Living. This is kind of like towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And in our text tonight, we see Christ talking about things that hit every one of us. It's about things that we worry about. It says here in verse 25, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall ye put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubic to his stature?" Angie's tried that a lot. She can't grow up. She's just short, okay? Just doesn't work, okay? "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of what? Little faith." You know, every issue that we have in our life comes down to an issue of faith. It really does. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or whether or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." This morning we talked about good news. Tonight we're going to talk about the thing that can get our eyes off of the good news and get our eyes off of the problems that we have. And it's about worry. You know, worry affects us all. What, me? Worry? You say, me worry? We all do it. And if you say, "I have no worry," bottle it and sell it, because you'll be a millionaire overnight. We all have worry. This temptation to fear affects us all. And what we need to understand, that this is a text for all of us. Christ is in his very first sermon, he's talked about the kingdom of heaven. He's talked about relationships. He's talked about prayer. He's talked about everything that we really need to do for the Christian life. And now he's talking about, towards the end here, he's talking about how should we depend on God. Next chapter, he talks about judgment again. But the issue is here, this is a text, and no one's escaped. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, I keep on transposing those. Verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but is such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye might be able to bear it." You know what that really means? It means that worry is common to all of us, and that we can get through it. And not only that, we have a way to escape it. And that's through God. Amen. And that's through God. You know, worry is the opposite of faith. There are people that are absolutely paralyzed by worrying. We call them what? Worry warts. You know a worry wart? You might be one. The issue is, worry basically says this: I can't. I can't. I can't get past the circumstances. I can't get past the task or the size of it. But faith says I can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So Christ provides an object lesson on faith and focus tonight. It's a text that's easy to understand because he talks about things that we relate to. Talks about food. Now here, who in here can't relate about food? Okay? Talks about clothing. We're all wearing some clothes tonight. Okay? So these are things that are close to home for us. But he also speaks about birds and flowers and things that we see and things that we observe. And sometimes we just try to take them for granted. And so tonight we'll look at three things in this passage. The first thing is we need to look about you. In verses 25 through 31, he says here in verse 25, take no thought for your life. Really, the word for thought here talks about being anxious or worrying about it. So don't think about this issue about your life. Stop worrying about survival. Put away anxiety over your daily provision. So take no thought for your life. Now here I have a question for you. Has God not provided food and clothing in the past? I don't see anyone in here going hungry. In fact, I see that we have an abundance. Okay? I don't see anyone here that's in ratty clothes. Now, you may not have the clothing that you want. You may not eat steak every night. But we're not going hungry. You know why? Because God says this. David wrote, he says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. But wait a second. Well, what about all those famines and stuff that came into Israel? What about all the stuff that's happening? You know why? Because they turned their back on God. And David says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. So maybe if you are having some struggles finding food, maybe it's because you need to be righteous. Maybe God's trying to get your attention. As he tried to do on the side of the mountain with Philip. How can we feed all these people? But you know, think about it. How many times have you ever gone hungry? Okay? Now, I went to survival training, so I could raise my hand. I was hungry. Okay? Bugs? No. No, it just don't work. And how many times have you been without clothes? That's what Christ is talking about here. He says, don't worry about this. You're here. God's going to take care of this as long as you're looking to Him. And that's how He ends this thing. So, God provides. God provides. Amen. Then He goes on, God feeds the birds. Now, we have a bird feeder. But God moved my wife to have me buy a bird feeder. Okay? So, she can see these two cardinals that come and the thousands of doves that get all over the yard. But see, God knew that we were going to buy a bird feeder so we could feed the birds. Really? They didn't have that back then. But see, God takes care. I just say, they don't worry about it. You know what they do? They go out and they find the bugs, or they go out and they peck on the ground. And they find what they need because God made it that way. And God clothes the flowers. You know, they don't go down to a factory and make petals. They don't have to have designer stuff. Okay? And in the wintertime, they die off. And then in the summertime, they come back. God knows this. He made them that way. He basically says about the flowers, he says they're clothed better than Solomon. See, we need to understand that we need to look at the weightier things of our life. About where are we going to spend eternity? How are we going to deal with a problem child or a problem in our family? How are we going to deal with life's issues? Not just life survival. And that's what we're equipped to do. See, we are so much more important than birds or flowers in God's plan. All you have to do is go back to the creation account and you can figure that out. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and what? Replenish the earth and subdue it. And have what? Dominion. Dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. Christ says, look, the very hairs on your head are numbered. God knows when a sparrow falls on the ground. And he says, you know, you're worth more than that because I made you that way. I made the birds to go out and feed the way. I made the plants, the flowers to bloom that way. I made you a certain way to have a relationship with me, and so you can be dependent upon me. You know, we are the object of God's love and his attention. You just have to look at John 3:16. You just have to look at the cross and know how much God loves us.
Amen.
But in Psalm chapter 8 verse 4, he says, what is man that thou art what? Mindful of him. And the son of man that thou visitest. What? We are so more worthwhile to God than we think. We're not worthless. We're not worthless. And so he basically says here, he says, don't take thought for survival. God's got you. And then he says, consider. You know, when God tells us to consider something, we ought to, shouldn't we? We ought to actually listen to it. So we need to look around you. Look around about you and see God work. Look above you. In verses 32 through 33. He says here, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, God knows what's going on. There's a lot of people today that have doubts about that. They say, well, how can we get in the mess that we're in right now? We did it. Not God. We did it. In Psalm 121, verse 3, he says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He will not slumber. See, there's comfort in that. Knowing that God will keep us. Knowing that God is looking down. Knowing all these things. Nothing takes God by surprise. He knows exactly what's going to happen in the next minute. He knows exactly what's going to happen in the next day. He's going to know exactly what's going to happen in VBS. He knows exactly what's going to happen next year. He knows all the answers to all the questions that we have. All he wants us to do is trust him. He just wants us to trust. Your heavenly Father knows. Your heavenly, so he knows what's going on. Secondly, we need to think about God, what God is doing while you've been worrying. Okay? I didn't get the sentence right. Okay? You need to think about what God is doing while you're been worrying. You know something? He's been working. If he wasn't, we'd be in a world hurt. Literally. God's been aware and active. So think about what God is doing while we're worrying here. And then he says, don't act like the Gentiles. Now in this case, the Jews were God's chosen people. The Gentiles were not. And Christ is preaching to them. There's Gentiles in the crowd. We know that God is for everybody. But the issue here is that God's people shouldn't act like the world's people. Think about this. Do you know somebody that's worried about their 401k? Do you know somebody that's worried about their bills? Do you know someone that's worried about their student loan debt? Do you know somebody that's worried about how they're going to eat next week? Do you know somebody? We all know people like that. But the issue is are they looking to God? No. They're trying to solve it on their own. And we can't do that. We should not be doing it. We can't act like the world. We need to start showing faith. Don't act like those that don't have faith. And what did he say here? What did he say here? He said, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O what, O ye of little faith? Don't act like the faithful one. Don't act as if you don't have something good in your life. If you know Jesus, you have something good.
Amen.
You have something good. And then we know God's great faith and provision promise. Seek ye first the what? Kingdom of God. You know, this morning in our Sunday school class, I talked about how often do you read your Bible? How often do you pray? How often do you even think about God during your day? My question here is, how often do we? Because obviously if we're not doing that, we're not seeking the kingdom first. Paul writes in Colossians, set your affection on things above, not on things the earth. Look unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Running the race, going forward, looking to Him for the prize that's set before us. See, when we were going through Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we said it's for one more what? Step. How God wants us to live our life is don't worry about tomorrow. You live for today. Because in today we have all the opportunities that God has put in our path. And tomorrow they're gone. We have to live while it's today and not harden our hearts as they provoke God in the wilderness. When Christ gave the model prayer in Luke chapter 11 verse 3, give us our daily bread. But really when you translate that, it's give us day by day our daily bread. So we just need to say, God, provide for me today. And provide for me. And I'm going to trust that you're going to do it tomorrow. You're going to do it tomorrow. Folks, that's a change of thought for a lot of us. We're worried about what's going to happen next week or next month or next year or 4 years from now. Or when our kids get out of college, or whatever. We're worried about all these things, and we're looking so far ahead that we don't look at what's going on right now. And we miss opportunities to serve God. we miss opportunities to see how God has provided for us today. And that should give us encouragement and good news that we understand that He's going to do the same tomorrow. Give us day by day our daily bread. So He's telling the people, He says, look about you. Look about you. Look at the birds, look at the flowers, look at creation. God takes care of you. He's got everything under control. Don't worry about your survival. God put you here for a reason. He's going to take care of you. Then look above you. In verses 32 and 33. And then the last one is live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. What does he say? Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. What is he actually saying? Now I've already told you that thought was worrying about something. So what is this really meaning? Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Stop being anxious about tomorrow. Now, if you have a test in school and you didn't study for it today, you better be worried about it tomorrow. If we had a long project and we should have taken this day by day, and now the deadline's here and we need to turn the report in on the boss's desk tomorrow and we haven't started, you better worry about tomorrow. But whose fault is that? It's not God's. It's ours. It's ours. If you've gone out and you spent all your money on video games and then all of a sudden, Amber Alert, and all of a sudden you have no money to buy food, whose fault is that? You had the money.
Right.
You had the provision. You just misused what God gave you. So, he says here, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, because for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. See, tomorrow can be tough. Tomorrow can be tough. Yeah, it could be worse than today. It could be better than today. But you know something? Let's talk about today. Let's talk about today. Okay? The question is tonight, can you feel safe in God today? If you don't, you need to get that right today. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Because then, you know what? You'll be worrying about that also. And then we get into the one of my famous P words, procrastination. And my kids hate that. Charity's all wriggled. Okay? You can't procrastinate. We need to look at what God's doing today. We need to look at the opportunities today. We need to look at the good news today. We look at there's provision today. We should pray today. We should read our Bible today. We should do all those things today. Because if we do it today, we'll probably do it tomorrow. We'll probably do it tomorrow. Oh, you know something? God's going to still be around tomorrow.
Amen.
We need to understand that. Okay? You might not be physically, but God sure will be. And if not, He wouldn't be God. See, we need to understand that sufficient unto the what? The day, that is today, is the evil thereof. See, we need to understand that worrying doesn't provide any sort of extra strength for tomorrow. In fact, worrying about tomorrow drains strength from today. And God says, no, we need to live for the day. There's the old phrase, carpe diem. Seize the day. Okay? We're supposed to redeeming the what? Time, for the days are evil. So, God's going to be alive tomorrow. And if we're here, He's going to take care of us. Amen?
Amen.
Look about you. Look above you. Live one day at a time. And what we need to do is we need to refuse refuse to carry tomorrow's burdens today. We need to understand that there is a Bible plan for worry-free living. We need to replace worry with positive stuff. And there's enough positive good news in the Bible. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 as I close. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, get rid of worry. You got to change the way we think. And we need to understand that God has got us. We need to stop it and turn it over to God. Tonight, let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you for this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord, and help us to stop worrying. Help us, Lord, to have faith, Lord, and trust in you that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, that's the promise from you eternally. Lord, just be with this time of invitation. Have your Holy Spirit have full reign. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.